all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God.
Wow. So this is a quote by Amy Carmichael, and she was a missionary to India for 61 years.
Yeah.
So like
when there were no missionaries to India, basically.
This was the first half of the 20th century.
So there's very few.
So she was a pioneer in that sense. And just in short, there's a lot of books you can read about her.
Right.
She rescued untold hundreds of children that had been given to Hindu temples, and she gave them a home. She made a home for them to be in.
Yeah.
And nowadays, we would even venture to call her a mother of India.
Yeah.
As all the children that she took in, they called her Amma.
Yeah. Which her impact is still known there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still well known. But in her lifetime, she was not known as a success, as we might call it.
No.
A lot of people told her not to go. She had some health issues. They even ventured to tell her that, like, she wouldn't be good at it.
Yeah.
That, like, this is not for you. Leave it to somebody else. Definitely don't do it in India.
Right. The white girl with, like, blue or green eyes, you know, from Ireland. Like, you're not gonna work there.
Yeah.
Like, you should just leave that to someone else, honey.
Yeah.
But she went anyway.
Yeah.
And she served for 61 years.
Yeah.
She didn't have a return to Ireland trip. And she actually spent the last 20 years bedridden.
But she stayed in India.
But she stayed in India, and she used that 20 years to become a prolific writer.
Yep.
Dang.
Based on things that she had learned from the Lord and tied in her experiences, and just really gave a lot of revelation. Including that Calvary love quote that we started with. But back in the day, she was not, quote, successful. And so without further ado, we want to welcome you back to the Field Notes podcast by Kairos Global. My name is Kate, and my co-hosts today are Zach and Sarah. And we've really seen that Amy Carmichael didn't just write about the good stuff, or like the fun stuff. She was really gifted at writing about difficult things related to missionary work. And that's kind
of just Christian life too, in general.
And that's Christian life.
That's true.
Absolutely.
What is success?
Right?
That's what we want to unpack today.
Yeah.
Because I think that's something that we've all run into at different seasons of our lives. And in ministry is like, letting God redefine what success looks like. And so that's what we want to unpack and just kind of share about today.
Yeah, so I have another, it's not a full-blown statistic, but we have heard it said that on average, Muslims need to hear the gospel about 18 times before they're in a place to respond to it.
Yeah. And like a true presentation of the gospel.
Like real presentation of the gospel. And like, there are exemptions from that.
Sure,
like
always.
People have dreams of the man in white.
Right.
They give their lives to the Lord.
Right.
Supernatural miracles, like that still happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But on average, a Muslim needs quite a bit of exposure to the true gospel before they're ready. And so if you were number 5 to share the gospel or even like number 16, like, you didn't see them get saved, and so you could be tempted to see that as a failure.
Right.
Right.
We have been tempted to see that as failure.
Yes.
Because, like, that's what we've known. All three of us have worked in Muslim-specific areas.
Right.
I think what's kind of fascinating and hard about Islamic cultures is that there's a lot of parallels between Christianity. And so you can talk about a verse, and they're like, oh, I believe that too. But there's very subtle and profound differences that ultimately mean that they're going a different way than we are. You know, they're not following Jesus. Right. But it's there's just these their ideas and these perspectives are embedded not only in their religion but their culture,
their identity.
Their identity. Yeah. And so it's a struggle. Sometimes it feels like you're just, you know, hammering your fist against a concrete wall 6 feet
thick. Beating your forehead against a wall.
Even. Exactly.
Which actually is something that Lily Estrada even said when she was being, when she was doing missions work in Algeria. She said, it actually felt like I was hitting my forehead against a wall every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot easier when you can like kind of gain at least an awareness of it being a process.
Right.
Of like, hey, I might not be the person to reap the harvest in this person's life.
Right.
I might still be tilling the ground.
Right.
I might be one of many that end up tilling the ground in this person's life.
Right.
And still seeing value in that.
Yeah.
And not getting discouraged by process.
Yeah.
Zach and I spent about 5 years in the Middle East, and at one point we had been meeting with refugee families in their homes, sit down, share some tea, and go through a Bible story. Mm-hmm. And we had been working with the same four or five families for about 6 months, us and our team just like progressing through Bible stories, kind of all building up into the like birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus. And kind of like when we got to the end of that, where all the stories were building up, creating this great picture, we like asked them if they wanted to follow like Jesus and acknowledge him as God. And they laughed. Mm-hmm. They legitimately laughed and mocked us right there in their living room and said no.
How defeating.
Yeah. That was like a hard day to go home. It was like, well, all of them said no. Mm-hmm. When we had been working with them and they had been having like insightful comments and asking good questions along the way, they ultimately were not ready to accept the gospel and acknowledge like Jesus is Lord. But after you get over the disappointment of the day, it's like, okay, no.
Yeah.
We sowed seeds in their lives, and we got to be a part of that process, which was still invitation from the Lord.
Yeah.
And our role for them,
it was one of those touch points.
We were faithful to share.
Yep.
And we just have to trust the Lord with the rest.
Amen.
For them.
Yeah.
Because we don't know if we're going to see them in eternity. We might. But we got to be a part of it.
And I think it's, that's challenging. And you see them more than just a complex conglomeration of experiences, foibles, perspectives, weaknesses, and actually just a beautiful being that God's created for him, and that's eternal. And so there's more on the line.
Yeah. Yeah, when they become not just a project, but the actual person, and you actually get to see them as a person. It's no longer like, my mission is to go see Numbers get saved. It's like, no, now I actually care about you and your relationship with God, and you're not going to spend eternity with him. Like, I want you to know the truth. I care about you and I care about your eternity. And so it becomes that much more heart-wrenching when they just don't accept it.
Because it's more than you just wanting them to validate you and what you believe to be true. You just want the best for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
it's true.
But even just to be able to turn around the next day or the next week, whatever it is, and share the gospel again with somebody else.
Right.
You really need to not let your worth or identity be found in success by Western standards.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or even like, let it be about the numbers.
Right.
Like, you really got to push past what the Western society tells you is important, and you know, maybe what you think people back home want to hear. Oh, they got to hear about the numbers, they got to hear about the person that got saved. Well, they also got to hear about like the person you're still contending for.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
and invite other people into that too, right? They can contend for them as well. And,
absolutely. What I love is that when the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant, that's not just reserved for people who followed a specific checklist or for people that saw the most salvations, like, as he led you, did you love him?
It's the verse, I did all these things in your name, but then he says, but I never knew you.
Right.
Yeah. What it also makes me think of is martyrs. People that, quote, like, didn't get much done, but really, like, laid it all on the line for the Lord and ultimately gave it all for the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a waste by the world's standards.
100%. Sure. But one of our early church fathers, Tertullian, right? He said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church.
Yeah.
So without them, we would never see the church grow.
Yeah, that's so good. So good.
Yeah, because how many disciples are martyrs? 10 of them? 10 or 12?
I think, yeah, the majority of them definitely died a martyr's death.
The church that we now know today was literally, from the very beginning, has been built on the costly sacrifice.
Even Jesus.
Jesus, and like more modern examples of like Jim Elliot, John Chow, like they gave it all.
Yeah.
And that's not unsuccessful or worthless to the Lord.
No.
And I think just for a moment, I'd like to dwell on that a little bit. I know in the last couple of years, a lot of pushback has been, even from a church, regarding the choice that John Chow made. He's been demonized by even those in the church. And what I would like to even reflect on is, like, again, are we looking at that choice from the eyes of our very Western individualistic, I would even say worldly, perspective of what is success? Mm. Or are we looking through the eyes of Jesus Christ, the one who went to the cross, who saw his own disciples flee him, who was betrayed, who saw his ministry literally crumble into nothing?
And die as he died.
Are we looking through his eyes? Are we looking through the eyes of our very like un-Christ-like culture?
It's real.
And you know, I'm talking about church. Like a lot of our church culture is not like, is not Jesus.
Yeah.
It's just different pieces of our backgrounds and perspectives that's not from God, it's our culture.
Right. Right. So just to help us, give us a little bit of like what it can look like to have kind of a godly perspective of his timeline and answered prayer. You have a North Africa story.
Yes. Which kind of even comes from John Chow, right? Like, maybe we don't have the perspective, and maybe people are arguing about, like, was it irresponsible? Was it faithful? Yeah. Was it, like, all the things? Because we're still so close to it happening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We look at Jim Elliot, and now years later, we can look back and see the success that came that started with him and his friends.
Yeah.
Going and trying to make contact in Ecuador with this tribe, right? And we've got decades on that now where we can say, wow, look at all that God has done. John Chow was not that long ago. We don't have enough perspective on that yet.
History tends to be the litmus test for success.
Yes. And even like for our team in North Africa, right? We kind of did this house of prayer where we would pray together for about 20 hours a week and then go and learn the language, go meet the people, find who's interested in learning more about the gospel. And we would meet people who are interested, and like we saw a couple people get saved, but it felt really difficult. And in 5 years, I only saw a couple people get saved. That feels like that's not success. Yeah. But we had people come and visit us who had been there in the 70s. Mm. In the 70s, there were very few Christians. Like there's few Christians in that country now. It's 99% Muslim. There were even fewer Christians in the 70s. It was practically impossible to be there as a Christian. Yeah. And they said when they came to visit us, they said, oh my gosh, you guys are the answers to our prayers. This is what we would pray, like, would happen. Wow. That yeah. there's young people who are here that are loving Jesus and able to partner with local Christians. Mm. And there actually are local Christians for them to partner with. And
right?
you guys are going out and preaching the gospel. And we're like, we're successful. We're the answers to, it feels like we're not doing anything sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, if you pull back and see that perspective that
yeah.
we were there 40 years after they
yeah.
were there and
yeah.
they came and they were so excited because that's the things they were praying for. And it's like, okay, we are further down the path than they were. We're not where we see a thriving, you know, church, a thriving body of Christ yet in
yeah.
that nation, but we're steps closer than they
right.
were 40 years ago.
Right. And so your weak expression of ministry can be so discouraging to you at times, I'm sure.
Yes.
But to them, yeah, like you said, it was an answer to prayer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that right there illustrates something that's very important to take hold of. Like that, and just your kind of observation that history, it is kind of the great teacher in
yeah.
what success truly is.
Yeah.
You know, coming in hot, like emotion, passion, maybe even like raw talent, you know,
yeah.
that will only last so long
mm-hmm.
in the face of difficulty,
yeah,
even despair.
Yeah.
Those who sow in tears will reap.
It won't, joy. Like, it won't make it. It won't hold out for the bigger picture.
Yeah.
But what will hold out is love.
Yeah.
And not just cheap love.
No. Calvary love. What Amy
yes.
Carmichael talks about.
The kind
about
of love that,
deep
that
love.
Walks the cross.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And that's not easy.
No.
There's pain and there's difficulty and there's even despair in that. There's points of where you don't even know how if you're going to go farther. But, you know, that's where God meets us.
And that is that love that is willing to sow in tears.
Right.
Yes.
That ultimately you will reap in joy. Whether it's in that season and in that place
yeah.
you get to reap in joy, or
mm.
whether that's an eternity with Jesus that you're reaping in joy.
Yes.
But that is undefined. But
that promise,
but that promise is
real. What's going to keep your heart alive. Yes.
And love will stay hidden for a whole lifetime, doing things with excellence and, you know, loving those around it without being seen. Love can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And zeal will last for a short period of time.
Yeah. Zeal lasts.
Zeal might last for a medium period of time
yeah.
even.
It can
yeah.
even go a couple years, you know,
yeah.
before you're all burned out. But,
yeah.
but
ultimately
it
it's burnt out.
yeah.
And zeal can be good to infuse that love.
Yes.
Totally.
With energy, with, you know, and that's where it can be good when you're like even living in North Africa for 5 years and you're feeling that weight of what you're doing, and then you get a short-term team come in and they're
yeah.
full of zeal.
Yeah.
That can actually be really invigorating.
So it's not bad.
Zeal's not
it's,
always bad.
It's just,
it just can't sustain you.
It can't stand on its own.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, man. I think that's, you know, that reality has been made painfully clear to us
yes.
on the mission field, but it's a reality that impacts every Christian. Ultimately.
Yeah.
And so.
And you mentioned Lilias Trotter earlier.
Yeah.
And that's another one where, you know, people told her she shouldn't go to the missions field. She still went. It was still difficult. She also was bedridden at the end of her life.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
But the seeds that she sowed paved the way for modern day missions in Africa.
100%. Right. We definitely felt like we were standing on the shoulders of the people who were standing on her shoulders, who were standing, you know,
yeah,
right.
that she was definitely the foundation of a lot of what we even saw happening. I mean, I wasn't even in the same place she was, but just the region in general, you
right.
could feel what her and her people sowed into that
yeah.
place.
Yeah. And, but you know, when she was alive, she wasn't really successful.
No, no. I mean, she was a single 34-year-old woman in the early 1900s that moved to North Africa without knowing a lick of Arabic.
Right.
To, you know?
And she actually had like a future.
Oh, 100%. She came from
yeah.
a wealthy family.
She
artist.
Was a
she was
skilled
an
artist.
She was getting trained. Like,
yeah.
But God.
But God.
She profoundly rejected what those around her and what the world define as success.
Yeah.
And for to literally get buried, like to be a seed that dies in the dry and barren ground of North Africa.
And so like today, thanks to history and time passing, like we could say that the work she did was invaluable.
100%. It makes me think of the proverb, like wisdom is known by her children, right?
Yeah.
And that's what that is. Over
that's
the course
a good point.
Of time, the wisdom was to go in and love Jesus and do what he said.
Right.
Foolishness to the world, but wisdom under Jesus, and it is known by her children. So history shows us that was wise.
Yeah.
That it was success.
That was success.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Man's measure of success is so short-sighted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, as we're talking about this, and we're tying it back to, like, yes, these missionaries of the early 1900s, and also Jesus and early church fathers, and, like, all of them, it's like, we are so short-sighted.
Right.
When we're like, oh, man, this wasn't successful because today was a bummer day. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
We're
so constrained by our understanding of time. You know, and it's a gift from the Lord to give us time, but he sees the whole picture all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And so his perspective is automatically completely different than ours, because we're so constrained by this is what I see now and this is what I know and have experienced. You know,
we are drawn by our feelings.
Yeah.
To and fro, you know? I mean, and that, especially me, I go with my gut. And so feeling like emotions are really important to me. I'm so glad I have them. When I'm healthy, like, it's awesome. I can use them for and leverage them for creativity and other things. But there are times when I don't have anything left to hold on to besides God's faithfulness. Because nothing inside of me is testifying of that this is the way. I have to hold on to something externally, you know? Not just reaching for my own drive, ambition, kind of like feelings.
And you know, that kind of makes me think that's where like spiritual disciplines can actually be a really useful thing to implement in your life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Where reading the word on a daily basis, because that's where you get to know who Jesus is. That's where you get to know who God is
where you
his
fall
word,
more in love with him.
Right? Where fasting on a regular basis, where praying with friends on a regular basis, taking communion on a regular basis, all of these spiritual disciplines that you see throughout the Bible, that's where those become key.
Yeah.
Because even when you're not emotionally like, yes, I love reading the Bible today, it's like, no, this is something I'm going to keep doing even when I don't feel like doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's where I'm going to fall back in love with Jesus again and make it all worth it, what I'm doing.
Yeah,
you know? Absolutely. That'll get you through a dry season.
Yeah.
It's
the
spiritual discipline.
Exactly. That's good.
And
exactly.
Choosing to engage.
Because that's what you have to hold on to, right? Like when your feelings aren't there, you still can hold on to that. That's a tangible, practical thing that you can still do.
Right. And I think one of the spiritual disciplines is remembering.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of communion in a way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think like why did God go out of his way to hammer into Israel's like statutes and ordinances? Mm-hmm. Remember.
Yeah.
Remember, because whenever the nation, the entire people group started going down a slippery slope of rebellion and idolatry, mm-hmm. it was when they forgot. Like, think about the whole generation that died in the desert,
mm-hmm.
because their faith was so unstable and and frail. They would see him do one thing one day and they would struggle to believe that he would provide the next.
Yep. Even though he literally gave them food every day.
Exactly.
As manna.
They still questioned
they
it.
They still questioned.
And so it's one of those things where I think a lot of times we misplace the blame for our situations and just how hard it is. We're like, well, if God, like, if he would just show me, if he would just show up, if he would just do this. It's like, well, he has.
Yeah.
He has.
When we were talking about this episode earlier in the week, you actually said something that I'm going to steal right now and say it, just that the memorial stones of God's faithfulness in your life become the footholds for today, so that when the winds of doubt assail you, you can actually hold on to those things.
That's really good.
Yeah.
No, right?
Yeah.
That's a Zach Hansen quote right there.
That's really good.
No, but it's so real. I mean, that's literally what God told Israel to do, was to build altars, you know, every tribe, have a stone, place it in the Jordan, you know, so we can remember the time where he parted the Jordan for us to cross, you know, all these moments, you know, because it's so important to remember. And I think that's exactly what you hold on to, because you can see his faithfulness. You can remember what he's done.
It's like, okay, he fed us yesterday and he fed us the day before. He's going to do it again
today.
Why
would he not?
Yeah.
And I think we can do that practically. Like, you know, heck, you might be on a mountaintop and God speaks to you, and you might just pile a bunch of rocks and, you know, and that's a physical way for you to remember what happened. Or it might mean just having a rhythm of you just mentally like filing through the indexes of God's, of those stories, that history with God. Either way, by doing that, we're actually like leaning into the power and the truth of those moments and allowing them to affect her now. If I no longer align myself with the reality of those encounters and the truth, then I'm untethered. I'm allowing myself to be untethered from the truth that would otherwise ground me.
Yeah. And you can ground yourself in your own stories. You can ground yourself in the stories throughout scripture, right?
Absolutely.
Because he's the same God then as he is now. And so if he can do it for them, he can do it for me.
That's why we believe that miracles can happen. Yes. He's done it before.
And we can read Amy Carmichael. We can read Lilias Trotter. We can read Hudson Taylor. Like, all of the greats that have come before us. Yeah. We can read their stories and say, oh, God did it there.
Yeah.
You know, we can read Hattie Baker. She's somebody who's still alive, you know. She has plenty of stories of how the Lord has provided for them in times of need, you know.
And you can say, God, do it here.
Yes, yes. And I think that's what the beauty of Lilias Trotter and Amy Carmichael having all these years bedridden and getting to share all their stories is that we can actually cling to those same truths that they experienced, you know. Yeah. And that's, I mean, you could say that would suck if you were bedridden for the last, you know, decade or so of your life.
For sure.
But we get to benefit from it. And so for that,
it was not wasted.
It was absolutely not wasted.
Those ladies would have been too busy running around ministering to the many and not writing their stories if they could have.
Yeah. And the Lord used that time. And she didn't know that she was going to probably write 30-something books or something.
She didn't know
when she started writing. I highly doubt. I mean, I guess I'm not there. I don't know for sure. But I highly doubt she knew that not only would she write so many books, but that her books would still be in circulation today still be something that people are pulling from, especially when she's writing the stories of, you know, all of the disappointments and all of the hard things. Like, why would she think like, oh, 100 years from now,
you can get that on Amazon.
Yes. People will actually still be encouraged by that, you know?
Yeah.
Because the stories, you know, times change and cultures shift. But certain experiences remain true. Disappointments will still come. You know, you will still feel like, I wanted to see this happen and this is what happened instead. I was preaching the gospel and they laughed at me. Or one of her stories was, I was preaching the gospel. They all seemed really interested. And at the end they said, oh, we love your hat. Can we try it on?
Ouch.
It's like, you know, it's a similar like, I thought they were getting it.
Yeah.
They weren't.
And they just loved my hat.
You know? And so we can draw encouragement from each other, because we can look back now and be like, man, but her life really was a success.
Right.
But she still experienced things like that too.
Huh. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's like, okay, nowadays, looking at missions in 2024, it's easy to kind of have this loose idea of it being lots of travel, constant adventures, trying
new
foods. Yeah. Like getting to see new stuff.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
If you're lucky, you get to see like a wonder of the world.
Right.
And it's not just that. No. The excitement for all of that actually wears off like pretty quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where if you had gone on zeal, that you're soon going to be struggling.
Definitely.
And it does come down to love, because missions takes time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's language learning, whether you're like trying to learn Mandarin and Arabic, or if you're learning a language that might not take as much time,
it still takes time.
It takes a lot of time.
Because you got to get the nuances of a language to really express the gospel completely.
In their heart language.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then there's cultural understanding and like learning the faux pas of like right. what body language not to express in someone's home
right.
and building trust with the people yeah. that you're working with so that, you know,
yeah,
they might actually receive the words that you're saying as you talk right. about harder things and about right. religion. Like
right.
it's a building process
it
and
is.
It's steps. And when disillusionment sets in, when you've been in the missions field for 2 months and you just want a cheeseburger and not more dal or whatever they have where you're at, you got to ask yourself, did I come for zeal or did I come for love?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And I think a lot of these places, they just don't have the church to sustain. They don't have enough believers to sustain. I think the statistic says like you have to have at least 2% believers for it to be a self-sustaining church.
Right.
And until then, they need outside help to come in. And so it's worth it
yeah.
to go yep. and come alongside any local believer and build them up until you can see yes. that actually yeah. start reproducing in itself, right?
Absolutely.
And I would also say that there are times where maybe God does take us to a beautiful place. Like one of my really good friends, she ended up in the middle of Afghanistan. And she had said yes to like go on different trips. And she's like, I don't even know why the Lord's inviting me to do this. I don't feel like I have anything to give to this short-term trip in like Afghanistan. Like
yeah.
she's like, we were driving through places and I had to like duck down in the van because they were run by the Taliban. And you know,
oh,
it was years and years ago. But she said, then she ended up in the middle of Afghanistan. They get out of the van and there's just beautiful mountains all around her. And she said, the Lord told her, I brought you here because I wanted someone who loves me to love my creation the way it was created to be loved.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Like, what?
yeah.
God is so different than how we operate, like in so yeah. many ways. And that was just a pure example of sometimes just saying yes is God just wanting to show us something beautiful.
Yeah.
Because that's who he is. Like,
right. And God probably called that trip a success.
Yeah.
And just for that right there.
Yeah. It wasn't go and see how many people will get saved right now. It was love me.
Like when you were in North Africa, those taxi drivers that took you from A to B, they got to take Jesus from A to B. You know, mm-hmm. when you ordered like falafel, like the guy, he was giving falafel to Jesus in the sense of like God in us wants to just love the world
and be with his creation
yeah. Where we go is where he goes.
Yeah, that's good.
And that is just success in that.
Yeah, yeah. And sure, he can go in dreams and visions and all those things.
Absolutely.
He could do it in 2 seconds and be everywhere in the world.
Absolutely.
He's chosen to partner
yeah
with those who love him to go into these places.
Yeah.
And so I think like just kind of tying all the things together, are we seeking to get the bigger perspective of circumstances, of situations, of environments? Just fighting for God's perspective, fighting for a spiritual perspective, remembering how God has come through and has spoken to us in the past, whether through us personally, whether or in the Bible or those that have gone before us, remembering who he is
yeah.
to give us perspective of now.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, Sarah, would you just pray for us to get that godly perspective and to just get a taste of Calvary love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. I just thank you that you know the beginning to the end and every single little detail in between. Lord, I thank you that you long to partner with your bride. You long to partner with each one of us who proclaims Jesus as Lord of our lives. And God, I just ask that you would help each one of us, Lord, in the day-to-day, in the moment-to-moment, and even in the overarching story of our lives, that we would be able to pull back and see your perspective, God, that in the moments, especially when things get hard and it can feel really defeating, in the conversations we're having and the places we're going, even in the work maybe that we're doing in this time, God, that you would give us your perspective, Lord, that you would help us remember the things that you have done in our past and then those around us, Lord, and even through scripture, Lord, that you would draw us into your word and you would show us how faithful you are, Lord, that you would remind us of the greater story that is being written that we get to be a part of. So we just thank you for that, and we just ask that you go with us and continue to show us what you're doing through us each day, Lord, and just show us how to love you, Lord, in every moment of every day. Show us how to love you, what that looks like practically and otherwise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we have three more episodes until we are wrapping up with our first season of Field Notes.
And all right.
It's so good. Like every week it's we talk about something different, but I come away just refreshed and encouraged, which is the purpose of this podcast. As a community, we want to share these experiences and values with y'all. And so stay tuned. Next episode will, as usual, be out in 2 weeks. Thanks for tuning in.